Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, presented by DraftKings. Come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the lovely Beasley Media Group headquarters here in Dorchester. It is an agenda-free Friday. That means everything is on the board, everything from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to. Big Jim Murray is in for Tony Maserati, already having computer problems because Zoe probably dropped his pants and took a giant deuce on the thing.
How does this happen? I mean, and McMullen, yours?
Do you know why? No. Because you have an ape who sits at that station 4 hours before you get here and probably just bangs on the thing.
No, that's great. He just came in to yell that it hasn't worked all day.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
Alert the engineers, oh, I don't know, at 10:01.
No, instead,
I know you might not use this much, but I need the workstation.
For 4 hours.
Because I'd like to, you know, work. You got to be kidding me.
So here's what we do. This is Big Jim Murray in for Maz. We got Tim McCone in our update studios. We give opening takes while the call screen is being populated. I believe Stu has already released the hounds at 617-779-0985. Anything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's all up to you. Again, agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Opening takes. Murray, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go. The Red Sox are tone-deaf idiots, and they proved this yet again here within the last, 24 hours, because this Mookie Betts deal is on hold, and they've been offered a mulligan, and they can get out of this thing, because there's apparently some issue with the senior six scoops, the fat pitcher from the Twins, who has an injury issue, and they want to say that he can maybe be a starter, but he can't be because his arm's fallen off and he has an addiction to ice cream. Not to mention the outfielder that they're getting from the Dodgers may or may not be a sex creep and a sketchy dude based on this story that we're hearing about from when he was with the Dodgers system when he first got in there, and he's in this hotel room where this young girl is beat up by these other girls. He might have put out this video on Snapchat. Either way, it doesn't look good, and at the very least, the return looks like it's complete garbage. Fans are out of their minds since this deal went down, and rightfully so, because it doesn't feel like good enough return. It feels like they're punting on the season, and they have an opportunity to get out of it, and they're not going to. And it just goes to show you again that they just don't get it. The team doesn't get it. I think with how hard this offseason has been, with how they've handled things, even just as like the ticket prices, the cheating scandal, they might not have a manager, but now they're going to be hiring Ron Renicki, who they're going to try to convince you had nothing to do with the sign-stealing scandal, even though he was the bench coach under Alex Cora, which is a crock. Like, they just keep tripping all over themselves and looking like complete idiots. So in terms of a PR standpoint, the right thing to do here is to nullify this deal. You have an opportunity to get out of it. And you have an opportunity to put a winning product on the field next year. I mean, they'll still be all right because you have Bogaerts and Devers and the pitching should be okay. But if you have Betts and Price still here, you can compete for the World Series, which I would think you would want to do after a horrible offseason.
I'm not supposed to interrupt the opening take, but I'm going to do it. How do you think those guys are going to respond after you tried to trade them all offseason and had them gone? Welcome back, cornerstone David Price and Mookie Betts. Love you, mean it. Like, how do you think
so they're
going to respond?
So it's just too late, so you don't try?
Yeah.
All right,
I do.
It might be too late with Betts because he's a bitch, but Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts, I mean, if you take Jim Rice at his word, he wants to be here. He liked it here.
Yeah.
So, all right. And if it goes sideways, you trade him at the trade deadline, and I think you get a better return. You have an out right now, and I think if you're a Red Sox fan or a hardcore Red Sox fan and you hate this deal, and again, I think that most people do, and again, even your national baseball writers look at this team as a laughingstock right now, you have an out, and they're not going to, and they're trying to pursue it even further with the Twins asking for another pick that they're not going to get, they're tone-deaf idiots, and they prove it again.
Tim McComb.
All right, well, I wanted to rip Ainge, but I just saw this on Twitter, and I have to call an audible at the last second. Oh. Something, by the way, the Patriots will not be able to do if both of you get your wish next year. Bucky Brooks, a former NFL scout and now an analyst, says, I can separate past performance when it comes to Tom Brady from current production. If you want to live in the past and savor his accomplishments, that's great, but he didn't play well last year, and his play has steadily declined over the past two seasons. You know what's steadily declined over the past two seasons? The weapons around Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. I feel like I'm taking absolute crazy pills right now because both of you want to move on from him. And people are ripping Brady when, again, look at the weapons he had this year. Philip Dorsett, an undrafted free agent, Jacoby Myers, Matt Lacoste at tight end. In 2013, when you gave him Austin Colley, who you wheeled out of a dark room once a week, and Matthew Slater and Kembrell Tompkins, guess what? The offense sucked too. In 2014, when you actually surrounded him with talent, you won a Super Bowl. Surround the greatest quarterback of all time with talent, and you're going to be back in it. Wanting to move on from him for the Red Rocket is insane. Insane.
That's our millennial Tim McCone, who takes the bait from Bucky Brooks. That is just so millennial of you. You'll go on the internet, someone says something, it's, you said what?
McBone's one of these guys, yeah, right? So back to Nick Wright.
That is like,
I hope you die, Nick Wright.
You couldn't point that guy out of a lineup. You don't know who he is, where he is, who he writes for, what he stands for, what his background is. You just saw something on the internet and went, I guess he's not the greatest of all time. If that's not millennial Patriots fandom, I don't know what is. And again, I don't mean to dump on your opening take. That's generally not what we do here. My opening take is on the 17-game NFL season, which the players are rejecting, and I want to call fraudulence on NFL players. Apparently, there is a deal struck between the NFL Management Council, the owners, and D'Amore Smith, the head of the union. They've come to terms, and now it's up to D'Amore Smith to sell it to his union body, and he's getting some pushback. It may not go through. The union had the 32 union reps of the teams have met, and the players have expressed their opinions, and it's not popular. The players don't want it, and they're citing player safety. And I think both sides are so fraudulent on this player safety issue. It's ridiculous. On the one hand, the owners talk about player safety, player safety, player safety. Of course, that's bull crap. Of course, we know that.
They just don't want more lawsuits.
Right. They want to get out of the legal ramifications of it. They don't care if these players are drinking out of straws, you know, for the rest of their life or not, or they can walk or not. They don't care, of course. So, like, when you say the owners are just fraudulent and disingenuous, well, of course they are. Like, it's not even worth discussing. Yeah, duh. This is America. It's capitalism. Yes. They treat the players like cattle. Uh-huh. Got it. Not even worth discussing. But I think the players are too. It's like, dude, if you're really concerned about, you know, your safety and player safety and head trauma, I have an idea for you. Sell insurance. Go sell cars. Become a talk show host. Be a scientist. Wash cars, whatever. You don't have to play football. That is not, no one put a gun to your head and say, play this sport. It is an inherently dangerous game, viciously dangerous. Whether it's 16 or 17, this is the life you've chosen. It's the thing that you have long ago come to grips with, that you are going to sacrifice your safety and your personal safety for this game. And the difference between 16 and 17, come on. Come on, you're already putting your personal safety at risk, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for it. These are tough guys. These are tough guys who are making a real sacrifice. But 16 is safe and 17 isn't? I mean, really? Like, it's the life you've chosen, and if you don't want to do it, don't do it. This is not indentured servitude. You're not being, you know, forced into this. This is your choice. This is a voluntary vocation for you. This is a job that you choose. And if you find it too dangerous, then you don't have to do it. It's very, very simple. And so I think the players have gone a little too far with it themselves. But I want to talk about the 17 game season in the NFL, which is on the table with new playoff seedings, new playoff format, all that stuff. Because I find it fascinating. I'm a big proponent of it. I want it. I want 17 games, and I do want 18 games.
Greedy.
And if it's not safe, then don't play. It's really that simple. If it's not safe, don't play. No one's forcing you to play. So there you go. We're off and running. Your thoughts here on an agenda-free Friday. Everything is on the table. How about Tim in Plymouth on Mookie Betts? Go ahead, Tim.
Hi. So I was looking at it, and it doesn't really make sense why the Red Sox want to get rid of him. So I was trying to think. Liverpool hasn't won a title in 30 years. John Henry owns both the Red Sox and Liverpool. And I was looking at the average salary for a top team.
Yeah, Liverpool's about to win their league, by the way. But go ahead.
So I was looking at the top salary for one of the greatest strikers in the EPL / in the world. He's only making $10 million. So I'm looking at John Henry trying to pay his top striker at least $30 to $40 million, which Ronaldo and Messi both get.
So I don't get your point, Tim. You got to get your point. I'm sorry. You've aggravated me. What's your point?
He's not willing to pay Red Sox players right now because he is more invested in his soccer team that is going to be dominant for the next 10 years.
Okay. I've
heard this argument from some of the soccer people that also follow the Red Sox that, you know, the investments right now are going to Liverpool, and that's why he's shortchanging the Red Sox and, you know, crying about the luxury tax. I don't know. I'll take your word for it, soccer people.
So I don't believe it. I mean, yes, those EPL teams are hugely expensive. The revenues are also massive. They are on par, if not greater, than what you make in Major League Baseball. I mean, it's massive. It's the biggest leagues in the world are the NFL and the EPL, and that's like, so yes, he spends a lot there, but he makes a crap ton there as well. He wasn't spending on Liverpool the last 2 years when he had record payrolls? They've had the highest payroll in baseball for 3 years running. He wasn't spending on his team then, but now he is? Stop. No, I don't think there's anything to do with it. I think he's 3 years into the tax, and everyone in Major League Baseball resets after 3 years. The Dodgers, the Yankees, everybody. He's doing business as business is done. You cannot complain about John Henry and the amount he has spent on this baseball team. I'm sorry. It's just silly. It's silly. He spent too much in cases. It's just not a fair analysis.
But they're the Red Sox. They should be spending out the ass.
They should, and they do. They should and they do. If you know, like, I philosophically, I'm okay with them getting under the tax. If you're not, that's fine. But I don't think Liverpool has much to do with it. I don't. Here is Vin on the Cape on the sign stealing thing, which is still, I guess, reportedly going to turn up well for the Red Sox. Go ahead, Vic.
Hey, I got the solution to the sign stealing thing. Get rid of the signs. I've been listening for over a year about the complaints about the length of the game and all of this stuff about stealing signs and all the science behind it. Get rid of the signs.
Amen. Amen. Put a microphone, put a light scheme out there, do something, whatever it takes. Eliminate the signs from the catcher to the pitcher, put an earbud in his ear, put a microphone or a tapper or a buzzer somewhere, or put lights in the mound like we talked about. Absolutely 100% agree.
Yeah, and it's also easier said than done. So Manfred in Major League Baseball will have to force it down the players' throats, which he seems unwilling to do in any kind of change, because anytime he does implement anything, he rolls back on it because the players are a bunch of collective babies. That's what we want, Jimmy.
Marvin. What is it? Mervin. What's that game?
Simon. Yeah.
So that's what they're literally talking about, putting little lights out there where only the pitcher can see it, and the catcher activates a little button that puts the light out there, and that's how he knows what to throw. Whatever it takes to speed the thing up, if you can, somehow make it electronic or may transmit the sign to the pitcher, then you eliminate all sign stealing because there are no signs to steal. And I'm in favor of that 100%. Thank you.
I've been staring at this computer saying it's been restarting for 15 minutes and I'm going to blow a gasket.
Because, you know, Zoe's been wiping boogers on it all day. You know that's what's going on. Back to your calls on Agenda Free Friday after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank.
It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. No moves.
Yep.
The Celtics do nothing.
Nothing.
Same roster.
Same roster.
Everybody's coming back. No trades. No fireworks.
Couldn't be happier.
Exactly. Couldn't Tell me happy. About it. Why
mess up a good thing? They got a good thing going right now. They're playing better basketball in the last 2 or 3 weeks than they've played in a long time. People are starting to get healthy again. They've still only had, 10, 11 games where they've had everybody together. Why mess this up? I mean, these guys have shown that they can play. I think they're an Eastern Conference final team.
Mm. You agree, Scott?
If Robert Williams gets healthy, then yes, we can have this conversation. But I'm disappointed they didn't get a rim runner. But I got confirmation today that they do expect Robert Williams to come back. They do expect him to be as near to 100%, and they do not expect this hip issue to linger on. This is the one area of concern I have with this team. Having a rim running big just adds another tool to the belt, and now you can run offense just a little bit differently when you have certain type of defensive centers on the floor.
So who was the rim running big that was out there that
Capella,
they didn't get?
Capella.
That's from the NBC Sports Boston Celtics trade deadline show yesterday. I do it for a couple things. I think Scal's analysis is good. I'll play more of it here in a second. But I think Mike Gorman, who we love, and I'm not ripping Mike Gorman, but he's sort of back at it. You know, we play all the drops from him several years ago. Like, I wouldn't trade Jared Sullinger. I can't give up
Tyler Zeller.
Right. You know, he didn't want them to make a single move. He did not want them to make a single move because, and you heard him say it, you know, the chemistry, and they're playing better. And as it stands right now, he thinks this is an Eastern finalist, which I tend to agree with.
I think Boston in six.
Okay, so that's the old stuff. But he's sort of taking the same stance, and I think a lot of green teamers feel the same way, or people in the organization feel the same way. The fans are happily mixed, but I think the team feels this way. You know, why mess this up? To which I say, mess what up? Right now you're the second team in the East. You could be the first team in the East. Why would you not? I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's like this oh my God, this reluctance to part with Javonte Green. What's his first name? Or Ojeleye, or these end-of-the-bench fodder, the end-of-the-bench main fodder that this team has is just staggering to me.
And you'd think they'd learn their lesson, considering they lived this with the Isaiah Thomas-Bridgie Celtics. Okay, they were fun, but there's also a ceiling to it, and they hung on to so many of those guys and didn't want to make changes, and how'd that end up working for you?
Oh, so it's like, So
and that was during the Golden State era, right? So, like, you knew you weren't going to get past them anyway. Yeah. Now things are way more wide open. And you have a window here, so I would think if you added, especially this Davis Bertans, who really could have helped this bench, and again, that ask, according to Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, was 2 first-round picks.
And I think Ainge might have confirmed that this morning with TNR, and we'll play the sound here coming up, that they could have had this Bertans for a couple of firsts, and they...
Oh, not the first-round picks. We got to hang on to those.
And they passed on. I'll play the sound here coming up. But, like, the Stan Pattism is just...
Oh, it's annoying.
Oh, my God. And there's no one better than Mike Gorman. So I just want to make perfectly clear. I think he represents the feeling of some on that team, in that organization. I just don't agree with it. Like get this. Here's another clip. What about Tristan Thompson on a buyout? You don't have to give any of these precious first round picks up. You don't have to give anything up. You may have to trim one piece off your 15-man roster. Javonte Green may not make it. But Tristan Thompson, a proven winner, deep playoff guy, veteran guy, fills a need. Would you want him on your team, Mike Gorman?
Again, I don't want to mess up the chemistry. I just don't want to mess up the chemistry.
Hold on, Mike. With all due respect, if I'm correct, the Toronto Raptors made a midseason move and brought in a Marc Gasol, and they were A-OK and fine without it. Why do we think, you know, if we bring in just a minor player?
Who lost minutes when Gasol came in? Well,
they traded Valanciunas away. They got ready. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So we're not trading.
We're not trading anybody. With the buyout. You're
adding to
the minutes.
I just think it's too many cooks in the kitchen.
This is a no-brainer.
Thank you, Scott.
There is no way that we don't do this if he's available and wants to come. Mm-hmm. Tristan Thompson for like, it would cost us like 900 grand. This is a no-brainer. I don't there's nothing else to say. You do it in a heartbeat, and so would eight other teams would do it in a heartbeat.
Thank you, Scal. Thank you. It's like, what are we talking about?
Right.
Too many cooks? You got to take minutes away from Javonte. He's worried about taking minutes away from the 12th guy.
Right. Grant Williams or Tremont Waters. Like, we can't have that, guys. Like, no. I wouldn't want that kind of presence. And I'm with you. Like, Gorman's the best, but maybe he's just a little too close to it and some of these guys.
Well, it's not him.
Why are you so attached?
I think he's reflecting the way some people feel in the organization. And I got to tell you, Felger, you don't know basketball. I don't. I don't get this.
Right?
I mean, honestly, I don't get the first round pick thing. And it's been explained to me a million times. I mean, I understand the cost certainty of a young player and you need them on your roster to stay under taxes and under caps. And like, I can absorb the explanation. I'm not a moron, but I just don't see it. If those first round picks never turn into an actual player, what, you could just hire McBone and put him on the end of the bench and pay a minimum and have that salary hold. Like, why do you need the first round pick? So, like, I don't, and the need to keep chemistry with Javonte Green and Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye, I don't get. I think chemistry, as we learned last year on the Celtics, is important to a degree.
For sure.
Definitely.
Probably with your starters and the guys that play.
But the bench.
Guys 10, 11, and 12? I don't get it. I don't get it.
And adding to the team is not a slight on this team. If anything, it's confirmation that I think you have a team that could potentially do some damage in the postseason. And from a Celtics perspective, everything you could have asked for going into this season has hit. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both took the steps you were looking for. And again, to your point, Jim, it's a wide open NBA. There is no Golden State this year. So to not want to invest in this team is beyond frustrating.
Okay, so quickly, Scal thinks they're short, even in terms of being an Eastern final team. They are putting, and if you listen to Scal and these other guys, that Robert Williams is like become the key guy. He's become the key guy. You just heard Scal say, if Robert Williams is healthy, then we're talking. If not, he doesn't even know if they're in East, if you get out of the first or second round. So why is that so important to him? Scal did another podcast. I don't know where this is from. It was on the NBC Sports Boston website. Here's why he wants a rim running big.
Drummond to me was a no-go. I would not go after he's $28 million Drummond. What I was disappointed, and I don't really get disappointed when trades don't happen. When Clint Capella went to Atlanta, I was disappointed. I heard the asking price was high. I heard it was going to be one of the core five players that the Celtics have. I'm not sure I would have done that, but man, Clint Capella would have been a great addition. And I only say that because Brad Stevens needs 15 to 18 minutes a game of a rim running threat. I do believe for them to compete with the teams that you mentioned, Toronto, Philly, Milwaukee, I need a big that can go over the top. I need a big that can rebound his position. I need a big that can defend the rim. Right now, we're okay at that position, but okay doesn't get it done. And Giannis is coming downhill at your head.
Okay, so
he's 100% correct in his assessment with those teams, with Milwaukee and even the Sixers. And they're a bunch of dogs, but I do think that they are talent wise a bad matchup for the Celtics, and especially with size. That's why he could have added someone like Capella.
Okay, so that's his explanation why he wants a rim running big. He says, but it was too costly because you would have had to give up someone from your core five. What's the fifth? Like, core four, I get. I mean, my core four would be Brown, Tatum, Hayward, Smart. Oh, Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Smart's five.
So Smart's the five that, you know, you can make an argument against because of his offensive deficiencies.
So
I didn't want to trade Marcus Smart because I do think, as far as him being a glue guy, that's important. Hayward's the guy.
I wouldn't do that. I would have traded Hayward.
Yeah.
But I just miscounted. So that I understand if Capella took one of those guys.
Hayward. Hayward, you should have done it.
I think it's reluctant, but Hayward would have been the one. Hayward would have been the one. Even though he's better than Marcus Smart, it's just, I think there's redundancy there at that spot, et cetera, for all the reasons. So maybe that is too expensive. Giving up the two first-round picks is not too expensive. We'll get to that in a minute. Back to your calls here. As promised, we've got John and Easton on some basketball stuff. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I think this whole thing is setting up for the Celtics to get Karl Anthony Towns. I think we got the assets now where we don't have to give up Brown and Tatum, and I think Danny...
Wait a minute. How are you getting Karl Anthony Towns without Brown or Tatum?
I think you have plenty of assets.
For what? Point. Name it.
Towns is off the market.
Name the. But let's say he's on. Name the Celtics package without Brown or Tatum.
Grant Williams.
you green teamers are so adorable.
Three first-round picks next year.
That are worthless.
17, 26, and 30. John, are you okay?
If you give up 10 different things, it'll be enough.
No, it won't. Can I, John?
Don't be a car salesman.
Okay, listen. Murray has this little red sucker thing that, honestly, I wouldn't do, but in your case, maybe you need it. Grant Williams and the 17th, 26th, and 30th pick in the first round get you Karl Anthony Towns.
You might have to throw in Taco, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be close.
So, because, you know, what happens, though, is, and again, this is not Gorman bashing because I love the man, but the team broadcaster comes out and says, I don't want to mix anything up here. I don't want to peel off any of these guys at the end of the bench. We're playing great, and look at how good we look. And then the green teamer hears a broadcaster say, I can't let go of Williams or Ogilvy or Green.
Yeah,
those guys are making really contributions.
The Butler thing for draft picks. Sure, I would have made that deal.
And then the fan says, oh, yeah, well, if we do package those guys, we can get Karl Anthony Towns because you think they're good.
You get brainwashed into overvaluing the assets on this team.
The whole Celtics experience, it is... I don't. It's true.
It's crazy.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
McBones update here. Back with more on an Agenda Free Friday.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
There's been a lot of talk about going to a 17-game season in the new CBA. How do you view that as a player? And
I think it's just speculation at this point. You know, I think it's the owners using the media and the way owners use the media to try to control the rhetoric. And I don't think it's something that players are interested in, honestly. And if that's the point they're negotiating on, I think these negotiations are going to go a lot longer than anticipated. Because it's odd to me, and it's always odd when you hear player safety is their biggest concern, and they're really standing up for player safety, player safety, player safety. But it seems like player safety has a price tag. You know, player safety up to the point of, hey, 17 games makes us this much money, so we really don't care how safe they are if you're going to pay us this much money to play another game.
So there's Richard Sherman on the 17-game schedule. Are you up or down on that, McBone? I'll start with you.
I'll take 30 games. I want as much football as possible.
I'm with you. Murray, why are you your thumbs down, obviously? Why?
Yeah, because I've just been the same thing for me for years. Stop tinkering with the NFL. Stop changing it. And I know I sound like a grumpy old man, which I basically am at this point. Stop screwing with this sport. More is not better. We don't need more inventory. Don't. Stop screwing with it.
Okay, but it's not for player safety.
No, because it's a crock on both sides. That part I agree with you with. The owners are a bunch of D-bags, and they don't really care about it. They're just afraid of getting sued. And like you said, for NFL players to come out and say, well, you know, that doesn't mean they're trying to look out for our best interest. Like, the sport's not in your best interest. Do something else. There's collateral damage game in, game out, even at practice. It's a violent sport. You know what you're signing up for.
It's just the player safety thing now. I think we're in a post-
It's an easy excuse.
Player safety world. In other words, we're in a post environment with cigarettes. No one's lying to you about what cigarettes do to you anymore. No one's hoodwinking you in what cigarettes do anymore. You take the risk into your own hands when you smoke that cigarette. And it's the same thing with head trauma now. The former players have a tremendous case against the league when they hid those results from them and wouldn't tell them the true dangers of head traumas, and doctors would throw them back onto the field with concussions. Those players have an absolute case. Okay, now We're sort of in a post environment. You know exactly the dangers of this sport. You know exactly what they are. And in the new CBA that they're proposing, go to 17 games. The preseason would go down to 2 or 3 games, okay? 3 and then 2. They would continue to peel back the amount of contact in training camp, continue to peel back the amount of padded practices during the season. And so even adding the 17 games, I bet you're netting out maybe even less contact, if certainly not much more. And it's mitigated. So again, the 17th game is offset by the fewer preseason games and the less hitting in practice and training camp. And so it's not a safe game, but the game has never been safer. I mean, that's true. So what else do you want them to do? You can't hit the quarterbacks. You can't hit receivers. Defenseless players, blindside blocks, high hits, low hits, you know, no training camp padded practices, no more two-a-days, only 7 padded practices during the regular season. We'll cut the preseason back to 2. All we have to do is play 1 more regular season game, and for that, we'll take your cut of the revenue from like 46.5% to 48%, which is worth hundreds of millions of dollars to your union. Like, come on. Like, I'm a little getting a little past the point of the player safety thing, even on the player's side. Like, I got it.
Yeah, it's disingenuous, I think, the argument on both sides. That being said, another game does mean, you know, more risk for injury, and maybe that means, you know, reduced quality of play. I just don't need more. I think the league is perfect. I think the schedule is perfect. I think the playoffs are perfect. I don't want them tinkering with it.
So that's a business reason, which I think is, you know, certainly debatable. If you just give you too much inventory, the demand goes down. And that's, you know, that's how the NFL's had it so good for so long. Each game is so precious because there's so few of them. If you start to dilute that, does the business suffer? Like that, I get.
Yeah, that is my argument. And I think we've already reached that with these stupid Thursday night games. Like, and I know they've made it a little bit better with more competitive games and more must-see games in the last couple of years. But for the most part, they still suck.
How do you feel about an expanded playoff format as well? So what this would be is going from 12 to 14 teams. That means 7 teams in each conference, which means only 1 bye per conference, and then the other 6 seeds play off to get a final, you know, so you're going to get 2 extra playoff games, 2 extra playoff teams, only 1 bye per conference. How do you feel about that?
I hate it. The NFL playoffs to me are perfect. They should not be screwed with. I like the 2 byes. I think you should deservingly get those 2 teams getting those 2 byes. I don't want more teams in the playoffs. I don't.
I don't mind it.
Of course you don't. I'm in the minority here. I know people want more football, yeah. All the football.
I do. I do want more football. And I like the 2 byes, but if that's the cost of doing business and getting 2 extra playoff games, I do want the inventory. Yep, you bet. I do. So I'm in favor of that as well. I like the whole proposal. And I love we've talked about this too, the wild card of that 17th game. You know, everyone gets a 17th game, and it just turned them into neutral site games. And I don't care about going to Mexico and England, and you know, certainly that's what they're going to do. But I think you can have fun with domestic, you know, neutral site games. I've talked about this a lot, like the Winter Classic in hockey. Instead, do it for a football game and, you know, put these games on in neutral site big college stadiums. Have a game at Notre Dame. Have a game at Happy Valley. Have a game, et cetera, et cetera, and do that and turn them into sort of events. And I think there's a lot of opportunity there. But mostly I just want the extra game. And I think the players will be okay. They're not going to be much worse off than they are now, where they just pulverize each other, and it's a really dangerous game. And I have a lot of respect for them, again, for the sacrifices they make. But I don't think this is much more of a sacrifice beyond what they're already making.
I mean, the only people I think that this are only franchises this is really good news for are your middlers, your Arizona Cardinals, maybe your Browns. So I don't want more teams in the playoffs because that means you're going to see more 8-8s, 7-9s. And I like when that happens occasionally, and you'll occasionally have that upset. But you're just asking for more suck wild card games.
Okay, so this is coming to a head because DeMora Smith, the union head, and the owners have come to an agreement. They have a plan. Now they've taken it to the voting body, and they're balking. They went to the 32-team reps in this week, I believe, and they did not get the 2/3 that they need. Once that happens, then it goes to the players, so they haven't gotten to that stage yet. And there were reports that the NFL set a deadline of March 18. The Tom Brady deadline, the free agency deadline that they need the players to agree to it by then, or we're looking at the last year of the CBA and a possible lockout, et cetera, et cetera. So this stuff's coming to a head. That's why I bring it up. Okay, your thoughts on this and everything else here on an agenda-free Friday. Cam and Taunton has a Red Sox take. Go ahead, Cam.
Mike, it's more of a general broad take with you. Why are you so reluctant to rebuild? Only with the Celtics. Oh, when Pierce and Garnett were traded, you were okay with it. Every other time, the Bruins, it was time for them to rebuild. I don't want to step back. I want to keep going to the playoffs, even though they were nowhere near a cup contender. The Red Sox are nowhere near a World Series contender, but yet you don't want to take a step back. The Patriots with Brady gone, there's a simple solution next year. His name is Trevor Lawrence. Nope, don't want to do that.
No,
why was
don't.
It only the Celtics?
Because
why?
I don't think
why is it-
in every other sport, you don't need to tank. In every other sport, you don't need a tank in baseball. I mean, you can. It's helped. I mean, the Cubs did it. The Astros did it. Teams have done it. But you don't need to. The Yankees never tanked. You didn't tank. And even though you finished in last, it's not like you did that year in, year out tanking thing. That you never tanked. You don't need to, and you don't need a tank in hockey. You don't need a tank in football. Basketball, now and then, if LeBron James is the first overall pick, it helps to tank. Or Hakeem Olajuwon sitting there at number one overall, you tank. I get it. Zion Williamson, you tank. That's that league. Every other league, you don't need to do it. So I would never do it. I would never do it in those other sports. And I would certainly never do it when I have Bill Belichick as my coach. What a waste of Bill Belichick. So Bill,
he wouldn't allow it to happen anyway.
I mean, that defeats the purpose.
The wins record, the Don Shula thing means too much to him.
Here's Mike in Danvers on the 17 games. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, Mike, you laid it out perfectly on the front end, right? Because if you have the extra game, you know, in the beginning of the season, then that's awesome. Everyone's going to profit from that, the players and management. But I have to disagree with you on the other end, because if you don't have the two buys, then you're not filling up that extra stadium revenues from concessions and so on and so on. So I agree with you on one end, but not on the other.
So
but I will say this, Mike, though. It's a bunch of crap. It's divas like Richard Sherman that are driving this thing, because why not play the extra game that counts and get rid of a preseason game?
I just feel like it's a good deal for them. That's all. And but you're wrong about that other thing. By eliminating a bye and giving an extra playoff game, that is more revenue. But, I mean, I'm not calling Richard Sherman a fraud. I mean, it's like that's the way he feels. I would just say to him, the game's much safer than the guys that played it 10 years ago, okay? Even if you had a 17th game. And if you're going to gain 2% in revenue, hundreds of millions of dollars for the union, and they're going to cut out the preseason games, and they're going to eliminate more practices, and every single rule that gets passed every single year leads to more player safety. At the end of the day, I mean, like, the player safety thing, if it's gotten too dangerous, then you don't have to play. But they've really done everything that they can to make the game as safe as possible.
And just, with more games, I think come more rule changes to further water down the product. That's
probably
the other
would.
Thing I look at it too.
Yeah, I think you're right, Murray. They probably would. Long commercial free segment is next. Agenda free Friday. Everything on the board, including the Brady watch that continues as well. Back to you after this.
Dugger Fans. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. LineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Susie, I think the Las Vegas Raiders are poised to pursue Tom Brady if and when he hits the free agent market. Now, whether they can get him to come to Las Vegas is another issue. There'll be a lot of discussions that take place before then, and clearly Robert Kraft will make a push, even though the Patriots and Tom Brady have not discussed numbers yet, and the Patriots are limited to a certain extent about what they could do financially. But if Tom Brady wants weapons, they've got him in Las Vegas. They've got the offensive tackle, Trent Brown, who protected him in New England. They've got a running back in Josh Jacobs. They've got a tight end in Darren Waller. They've got a slot receiver in Hunter Renfrow. And I am told that the Raiders are prepared to pursue him. And the general manager, Mike Mack, has said that basically in the past, we'll look to upgrade every position, no matter what it is, even the quarterback. They cannot acknowledge Tom Brady. They wouldn't say anything about Tom Brady. But I'm told that they are poised to pursue Tom Brady if and when he becomes a free agent.
Jenny Free Friday, everything from the week, and that was a big bit of reporting there by Adam Schefter on Super Bowl Sunday. Latest on the Brady Watch. Brady Watch Day 34 today. Tom Curran has a new column on NBC Sports Boston that has dropped. What caught your fancy there, Murray?
Yeah, so this just posted minutes ago. Timing all wrong. Tom Brady, Patriots getting deal done in free agency. So I'm reading about halfway down through this thing, and this is what sticks out. While my understanding is the Patriots are willing to extend themselves financially to keep Brady, Belichick will receive no edict from the owner on what to do. The Sunday report that the Patriots were willing to go north of $30 million, presumably for 1 year's salary, to keep Brady, which came from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, has been a source of irritation for the team this week. My understanding is no parameters have been set. That number is now an albatross to the proceedings. The proceedings themselves, they'll have to get underway soon because the timeline for negotiations is a huge wrench in this process.
So just stop there. That, you know, the team, when Rappaport said that, I'm like, they're not going to give him a raise. They want him to take a pay cut.
Right.
They're going to go to $30 million?
And if it is $30 million, how many incentives actually get to $30 million? Like, it's not a real, that's not real money.
The last two off seasons, when he's coming off of MVPs and Super Bowls, he had to crowbar to get to 23.
Right.
Now, he's coming off a down year, and the arrow does appear kind of pointed down, and they're selling it to around and give him 30?
That number is now an albatross to the proceedings. So, my immediate reaction is, that was Brady's camp that put that out there.
Or that's the Raiders' number. That's the market number.
Right.
It's 30.
So they've sniffed around, and you know, even though they're not supposed to, and it's the tampering period, there's been some conversations. Oh, yeah, we'd be willing to give 30, 35, and that's what the going rate is going to be for Tom Brady.
The number's 30. Why are you, McBone, putting your head in your hands over there?
If you're the Patriots, why not show a little respect to Brady? And even if 30 isn't the number you're willing to go to have a report come out and say that it's an albatross on the team, that that's the number? Like, behind the scenes, you can negotiate with him because he's always been willing to take less. But in public, like the Saints do with their franchise quarterback, Drew Brees, why not say, this is our guy. We're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that Brady winds up in a Patriots uniform at the end of his career. He's your best option right now.
Why is that? But that's okay. He might be your best option, but why do you put that thing? We make sure that he ends his career as a Patriot. Why is that important? I mean, other than just a fan
I think
thing.
Because it's a respect thing for Brady.
So who cares about respect, Big Bones?
Brady clearly does.
Okay, but don't you care about the team? Like,
yes, and the best option at quarterback for the team is Tom Brady.
Okay, well, that's different than saying you have to show him respect.
But that's
and you make
clearly
sure
what he wants.
The whole thing, but who cares what he wants? It should be about what you want and what's best for your team, and if they align, great. But that whole thing, that's how you get in trouble. Oh, we can't let Tom retire in a different uniform. Why not? What if it's what's best for the team? I'm not saying he does, but what if he sucks? What if he sucks and makes too much money and would hurt your team? Then he has to retire a Patriot? No, he doesn't. I mean, is that what you want?
No, you can make that adjustment moving forward. But right now, for this upcoming season, and you look at the quarterbacks that are available, Tom Brady is far and away the best option for you if you want to win a
Super Bowl. Now you're saying something. Now we're on the practical matter, which is he the right guy for the right team at the right price? Fine. I don't make it for any other reason. And I understand if you're sentimental about it, you don't want to see him in another uniform. I get that as a fan standpoint, but that's not what's best for the team. That's just what's best for your little fan itch. You know what I mean?
No, but I'm saying from a perspective of Brady, if you go out there and treat him like the Saints treat Drew Brees, you're not in this situation to begin with, and maybe you're actually getting a better deal than what the $30 million that he wants is right now.
There's more good stuff here I want to
go
read
ahead.
From. Yeah, so going further down Karin's column here. Brady's wanted an extension prior to the 2017 season. He never got it. Patriots have preferred to go year to year. In choosing that route, the feeling Brady's gotten that he's somewhat of a stopgap until a better solution taking the team into the 2020s emerges. Meanwhile, the offensive talent around Brady's fallen off for a variety of reasons. How can the Patriots show Brady that 2020 will be better? They can't. The Patriots have 2 days in March to convince the representatives of prospective free agents that New England is right for their guy. Meanwhile, how can prospective free agents even know Brady's going to re-sign? Another meanwhile, if Brady doesn't re-sign before free agency, $13.5 million in dead money hits the salary cap on March 18th at 4 p.m. A final, meanwhile. It's crazy to think Brady's going to negotiate to have the franchise tag removed for 2020, get to the cusp of free agency, then fold his tent and come back to the same old, same old. Not after he spent last year ducking and chucking and shaking his head. So suck on that, McCone.
Well, but this is so true from a practical matter. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the Graziano report that he wants to be wined and dined. And he wants to go through the whole free agent process.
You don't fight for free agency and not have the franchise tag put on to not actually go out and, you know, live the life of a free agent.
So if you want to live the life of a free agent, then you have to go past March 18. That means if you go past March 18, there's another 13 and a half in dead money put on your cap hit, which hurts the team. And also, if you want to know what you're surrounded by, how does that all time out? As Kern points out, if you want to avoid that 13 and a half, you got to sign before March 18. But then you're not making the free agent tours, and you don't know what the team is surrounded by.
Yeah.
So it's tough timing.
He finishes up with something juicy. Once he gets to the market, one thing you can bet on is that Bill Belichick isn't going to sit with his hands folded waiting for Tom Brady to decide if he's staying or going.
I bet you, and I've said this many times, I would not be surprised to see that they do something and put it in their back pocket before we get to free agency. Have an Andy Dalton trade in their back pocket or whatever, something like this, in their back pocket to protect themselves. They do it with any other player.
You ready for that, McCone?
This is all self-inflicted, and that's my point. The way that you've treated Brady leading up to this point has you in a situation where now all of a sudden we're honestly talking about bringing in Andy Dalton as a backup plan. And yeah, you can go 9-7 with Andy Dalton, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl. Your best option to win a Super Bowl this year is to have Tom Brady back in the fold, and the way that you've treated him leading up to this point has you in a situation where you're right. Now all of a sudden, Bill Belichick's going to be making a PowerPoint the night before he goes to the Hamptons to pitch Brady, and that's not going to work.
And if Brady wants to be, if he really wants to be a free agent, he's not going to take that meeting this week, and then he's going to go to March 18.
Yeah.
And by that point, it's worse for you financially. And at that point, all the dominoes are falling across, you know, etc. So it is, the timing is tough on the Brady deal. Okay, so that's on the table along with everything else. I promise phones, we'll get to them right here.
McCone's broken.
I can't believe they're in this situation.
Why?
It's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, but what if
it's the face of your franchise?
So what? What if he doesn't make sense for you?
How does not having the greatest quarterback of all time not make sense for a football team?
Because he's too old and makes too much money. Happens all the time in every sport. Why is he immune?
What's your plan? Stidham? Dalton? Well, like, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with those. If you had a plan, if you had a Jimmy Garoppolo,
Murray's not going to like this. They did have a plan, and the owner blew it up. So I agree. It'd be better. They'd be a much better spot if they had that next thing. But so be it. So be it. You don't just do it because he's Tom Brady. That's how you get.
That's how you become the Dolphins.
And that's how you make a mistake. Exactly. Well, we can't stand the sight of him in another uniform. We have to do what's right by him. I mean, it's no way to run a team.
It's not Peyton Manning in his last year with Denver. He's still a good quarterback. He can still play. The Saints have their guy. Taysom Hill is ready to go down there, and they're still going to stick with Drew Brees. Why? Because he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. You have one of the best four quarterbacks in football on your roster. It's insane.
I swear to God, I promise. McBone's going to take 90 seconds. There'll be no commercials, and I'll go right to your phones.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.